We'll move now to the third slide and talk a little further about ice growth. We've already talked about congelation ice growth, which will occur at the bottom of river ice covers. And that congelation ice growth is a result of having negative temperature gradients in the ice cover. That is, the air above the ice is cold, much colder than the temperature at the bottom of the ice cover, which will be at the freezing point, 0 degrees Celsius. So with those temperature gradients in the ice, you can remove heat or conduct heat away from the bottom of the ice cover to the atmosphere. The rate of ice growth at the bottom by congelation ice formation is determined in part by the depth of the snow and also the temperature at the top of the snow cover. If the snow depth increases, we're adding insulation to the ice cover there. The ice will become warmer, the temperature gradients will not be as steep, therefore we cannot extract as much heat from the ice cover, and the rate of congelation ice growth at the bottom will slow down. Now, it's often thought, and many people think of the snow cover on ice as having one role only in the formation of ice, and that is the role of the insulator. Snow is a very effective insulator because there's a lot of air trapped between the ice and snow crystals. And as you add more snow, then you add insulation because you have more air trapped in the snow on top of the ice. That slows down the rate of freezing at the bottom, the congelation ice growth. But snow also plays a role, a constructive role, if you will, in ice thickening and formation. Because if you accumulate enough snow on top of the ice, the mass of snow can be sufficient to overcome the buoyancy of the ice. And when that happens, the ice surface is depressed below the waterline of the river or of the lake. And if there are fractures in the ice, water will flow up those fractures to the ice surface, and it will flood the ice surface and the bottom of the snow, creating slush. This is a form of overflow. And overflow is many people who travel in winter in the interior, whether by dog sled, snow machine, or they're skiing, they're familiar with overflow. It's very common. It occurs on lakes, it occurs on rivers and streams. Now, when we get flooding at the top of the snow cover on a lake or a river by this process of the snow mass overcoming the buoyancy of the ice, then congelation ice growth at the bottom of the ice cover will cease because the ice becomes very warm and the negative temperature gradient that was there previously essentially becomes zero. So you can't have heat conduction from the bottom of the ice up towards the surface. However, heat conduction can continue in the snow cover above the slush, and therefore you can extract the heat in that relatively warm slush, and the slush will start to freeze, and that forms what we call snow ice. And when that snow ice layer is completely frozen, the slush is frozen completely, then we've actually thickened the ice cover by adding ice at the top rather than at the bottom. This is a very important contribution to the thickening of the ice cover in the interior, also down in southern Alaska where there's a lot of snow. Somewhere on the North Slope, perhaps, it might not be as important to the thickening of the ice cover because there's a lot less precipitation north of the Brooks Range. And most lake ice up on the North Slope would form by water freezing on the bottom, congelation ice growth, rather than the flooding and snow ice formation. But here in the interior, this process is very important and causes a lot of overflow, as I say, on lakes, rivers, streams, and so on. People are very familiar with it.